This is Marketing Reads, a Chinese consumer connection where we look at books related to marketing in China. I'm going to look at today is titled The Rise of the Chinese Consumer, Theory and Evidence. The author is Jonathan Garner, and he has a number of co-authors on this book, although they're called contributors. It's obviously been a lot of people working together on this because Jonathan Garner is a research coordinator at Credit Suisse First Boston. So they have a lot of good reason to be doing research into the financial, economic, marketing aspects of China. The publishers are John Wiley and Sons. You can find it on Amazon, even though it's a very research-oriented book. I was surprised it was easy for me to get a hold of. I was able to get it from a library in Taiwan. A few libraries have it. So in Taiwan, in Hong Kong, maybe even in China, you should be able to get it. In the U.S., of course, should be no problem. I want to first look at the book. It has two big parts, and it's an interesting way to divide the book up. Part one, or what they call section one, is theory, and section two is evidence. It's a little bit strange. When I first saw it, I thought theory would be some kind of marketing theory. Actually, it's not. It's almost totally dedicated to economics, and the theory is not really any kind of economic theory per se, as much as to just assert what are the possible future projections for the Chinese economy. And that is kind of a theoretical issue because we're not sure how things will go in the future. So he's very careful in picking which direction will be the dominant direction. So for example, they have a lot of predictions that center on the year 2014. And the question is, where will China's economy be in 2014? And there's two big extremes. One is it's a really major player in the world economy, which could be anywhere from 10 to 20% of world consumer spending. And then on the low side, going down to 10 or less percent. And these are, of course, our extremes. Now, in this case, Credit Suisse has kind of hedged their bets. But you can feel when you're reading the book that the high projection is what they really have belief in. So Garner is not very shy about that, but he is pretty professional in laying out all the possibilities, the legal problems, the infrastructure problems, the countryside issues, the employment issues. He's pretty forward about it all, but he doesn't spend a lot of time on it because the book does really want to center on what are the economic potentials in the Chinese economy. Now, it's a really great book because it's hard to find these numbers. If you look at Chinese websites, government publications, it's really hard to take a lot of those numbers at face value. So I really appreciate that we can have a book here that Garner puts together and really gets all the good numbers together. He does have a lot of good sources, and then a lot of has been done by Credit Suisse themselves. So I think I can really trust a lot of these numbers better. If you're doing research in the Chinese economy, this is a great book to come and get your numbers. Let me just go through a few parts of the book. The first section, of course, as I said, was theory. So the chapters inside the theory section are top-down projections of consumption growth in China. So when he says top-down, this is really what the book does follow, a top-down. They're looking at the overall macro numbers and then making projections. And those projections include things such as, by 2014, the Chinese consumer will be the engine of the world economy. They'll surpass, they won't surpass the U.S. Consumption numbers. In fact, they'll probably be somewhere around half. But the growth will be at such a rate that the Chinese consumer will really be dictating the movement of the consumption economy worldwide. Chapter 2 is Drivers and Constraints to China's Long-Run Economic Growth. So we have some hedging of the bets here. Chapter 3, Near-Term Risk to Consumption Arising from China's Efforts to Combat Overheating, so the inflation problem. Chapter 4, China's demographic trends and their implications for household consumption. And of course, here what we really see are the urbanization movement and the movement towards more and more income, double income families even, and then the expenditures. Chapter 5, social and cultural influences on consumption. Chapter 6, China's growth for potential key product categories. Of course, here, Chapter 5, social and cultural influences, that's my stuff. That's the stuff I would really love, and that's like 3 pages long. This is not the strength of the book. The book does not center at all on these cultural issues. In fact, it kind of blows right past them, saying everybody in China will adopt the Western standards, supermarkets will take over, etc., etc. And this flies right in the face of what we've seen in Hong Kong and Taiwan. This is not the case. But from a macro perspective, I think it's okay. It's just that how does it implement in the micro level, at the consumer level? How do modifications need to be made, and who are going to be the real winners? He's a little bit vague on this, a little bit too macro. That's okay. You have to take it for what it is, a very macroeconomic-oriented book. For part number 2, which is evidence, what they have is each chapter is kind of covering one market segment, and then or industry, and then they're trying to say what are the growth in those industries, what are the trends in those industries. So, for example, they have industries such as autos, another chapter just on beverages, another one just on electronic goods, food producers, food retail, food service, household and personal care, luxury goods, telecom, and tobacco. These are all specifically covered. And each one adds up to a whole, which is what's concluded in the first part, which is the theory. So they're trying to support the argument. Garner's trying to support his argument, his theory about the high level of growth. Some of the chapters I've really taken an interest in include Chapter 12, Food Producers, Chapter 13, Food Retail, and Chapter 14, Food Service, because some of my research is in this area. The weakness is he's really skipped over any of the street-level cultural issues, and he's gone completely with the macro. On the other hand, it really gives you a good perspective to see the context that your local research could fit into. And it really shows where there's a lot of space for marketers to come in and try to understand a lot of those details. Overall, of course, the conclusions are fairly predictable. In the food sector, there's huge growth, a lot of potential going on there. If we look at food services, the growth of your chains such as McDonald's and KFC is just astronomical. And we can see how the overall economic situation points to only more increased growth in that area. That's great. So if you're going to write a paper, you're going to do research, you really need to contextualize your research from the macro first. You know, what are the reasons you're doing this? What's the context you're working in? What's the future look like? And this book is great for giving you those very, very strong numbers and a lot of detail on those numbers. It's not weak on them. It's very strong on them. Lots of details for each sector. I really like that. The weakness of the book, of course, as I say, is it's weak on the micro, but I don't think they make any claims to that. So if you're doing any kind of research dealing with China, even if you're doing completely qualitative work, and you're down at the street level, you're doing some anthropological kind of work, gathering data, still, this book, The Rise of the Chinese Consumer, great help, at least for your beginning of your paper to show, you know, this is where things are going in the future. Highly, highly recommended. This is Marketing Reads, a Chinese Consumer Connection, where we look at books related to marketing in China. Meow, 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 meow